The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Jesus answered him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give you if you prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord.
These are some very strange temptations that Jesus goes through today. But if we see where they came from, we will see that all of us are tempted in similar ways. Now, I have to give credit to the late Swedish biblical theologian Birger Gerhardsson for this interpretation of the gospel today. Jesus says elsewhere in the gospel, specifically Matthew chapter 22, that the fundamental or great commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Where did he get this? Well, he got it from the Shema. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strengths. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. These two verses of Scripture are so important to Jews that they give it a name, the Shema, from the Hebrew word that begins the verse. These verses are recited twice a day by observant Orthodox Jews, once in the morning and once before bed. The Shema is the key to unlocking the meaning of these three very strange temptations. But then you have to know the meaning of the Shema. What does it really mean to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength? Gerhardsson turned to Jewish sources rather than Christian ones to figure out the meaning of this Old Testament passage. One of the main ways he did this was to read very carefully the Mishnah. The Mishnah is essentially a Jewish commentary on the Old Testament compiled in the 3rd century, which contains debates between rabbis on the meaning of Scripture and Jewish tradition. Before I get into the text, note that all of Jesus' responses to Satan in the Gospel today come from Scripture, which is why they are italicized in your missalette. And they all come from Deuteronomy chapter 6, the same place where the Shema is located, which indicates that Gerhardsson may be onto something here. For context, Deuteronomy chapters 6 through 8 is where the people are wandering through the desert for 40 years before they enter the Promised Land. Okay, so let's then get to the Shema. The heart. We must love the Lord with all our heart. The Hebrew word for heart is lebab, L-E-B-A-B. But sometimes in the Old Testament, that same word appears with two B's, L-E-B-B-A-B. So naturally, the rabbis wondered in the Mishnah, why is this? And their answer was because the heart has two drives in it. There is a drive toward good and a drive toward evil. Also in the Mishnah, Yerhartshon shows that Jews see the heart as the seat of willing and knowing and desiring and passions, which is different than our culture, which says that the heart is where emotions happen and the brain is where we think and decide and reason. But for the Jewish culture, it was the heart that performed all of those things, willing and knowing and desiring and passions. Thus, if your heart is going to love God, there is an intellectual component to that, an emotional component, and a volitional or desire-based component in the loving of God. The Shema is saying that we must love God with all our inner faculties, to submit to the revealed will of God, your intellect, your will, your emotions, your inner drives, both good and evil. Now let's bring this to the gospel passage for today. Jesus is tempted by Satan to turn stones into bread. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 through 8, the Israelites complain against the food that God was giving them, which was really manna, but they called it bread. Now, manna is not really bread, but that's what they called it. The Mishnah states that the manna or bread in these passages actually symbolizes the will of God brought to them through the law, the Torah. The thinking was that the law of God nourishes his people. It gives them what they need as human beings to be good human beings, just like physically food nourishes human beings. So the rabbis said the people weren't really complaining about the manna, the food. They were complaining about the law, the commandments, as tasteless food. They didn't want to be subject to the law, just like Adam and Eve didn't want to obey God in the Garden of Eden. And so Jesus says in response to Satan that he doesn't need bread, he needs God's word. Now we call the commandments the law, but they're also the word of God because they came out of God's mouth before they were put on to the stone tablets. So Jesus says, it's not bread I need, it's God's word, the commandments, the law. Jesus will fulfill this command to love God with his whole heart perfectly in the Garden of Gethsemane, because there he turns over his inner life, the place where his will resides, to his Father. Remember what he said there, Lord, that this cup might pass by me. In other words, I don't want to do this. I don't want to die, especially not like this. But not my will, but yours be done. He turned over his internal life, his will, his emotions. The next thing is soul. You must love the Lord your God with all your soul. The Hebrew word for soul is nefesh. There is a huge cultural difference between the Israelites and modern people. The Israelites did not see a distinction between the soul and the body. That's Western thinking. They did not think like that. So it's also very possible to translate the word nefesh as body in this context rather than spirit. So it means your bodily life. So we are to love God with all of our body, to the point, if necessary, of martyrdom. And now let's bring that again to the gospel today. The devil tempts Jesus to throw his body off the parapet of the temple. And Jesus refuses, saying, no, I won't throw it over for you, but I would for God. if it were necessary. And of course, we know it will be necessary because he will be crucified. He will throw his body over. And in fact, Jesus fulfills this command perfectly on the cross when he says, "Unto you, Lord, I deliver my spirit." But now we know that word can also be translated body. "I deliver my body over to you." Finally, we are called to love God in the Shema with all our strength. The Hebrew word for that is me'od. And normally you would translate that as very or a lot. And it is your wealth, your property, your possessions, your riches, your external goods. That's your me'od. So let's bring that to the text for today. Satan takes Jesus on a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world, containing all the riches of the world and all the power of the world, since power and riches tend to go together. And he says to Jesus, "If you just worship me, I'll give you all of this." And Jesus refuses. He says, "The only one you worship is God, nothing and no one else." Jesus will fulfill this particular command to love God with all your strength, your me'od, just before he goes on the cross. They strip him of his clothes. The soldiers cast lots for them. And then he is nailed to the cross, naked. At that point, he literally owns nothing in this world, including his own clothing. He has given it all. You must love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. The internal, the body, and the external. In other words, we are called to love God with the totality of our existence. I mean, what else is there left? Everything inside of me, everything outside of me, and the interface between the two, my body. What else is there left? Nothing. We are called to love God completely in our lives. Remember on Ash Wednesday, Jesus gave us three tools to come closer to God. So he told us to use prayer, which is internal. He told us to use fasting, which has to do with the body. And he told us to use almsgiving, which implies giving of our economic resources, of our external goods. Jesus was giving us the tools to counteract the three temptations that he experienced in the desert today, and that he knew all of us would experience as well. Behind these three temptations, there is a central theme that the most basic temptation of a Christian is not to love God totally, with everything that we are and have. How much of yourself are you willing to really turn over to God? How much of yourself have you not turned over to God up to this point? As Christians, we want to love God, but when we realize what he is asking us to give up, we say, "Oh no, not that." But Jesus shows us today, yes, that.